I have a bad back along with another number of bad things, and if I wear garlands that are heavy, I get a headache. So, no offense to the Vrishama. Before we start, a little housekeeping. I want to apologize to the translators, wherever you are. I speak quickly, I'll do my best. And also, by the blessings of such a saintly association, may I say something pleasing and useful to you, only by Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So we are on text, Canto 4, Chapter 12, Text 25. Sadurjayam Vishnu Padam Jitam Paya Yatsurayo Prapya Vikakshate Param Atishta Tachandra Devakaradayo Graha Rikshatara Pariyanti Dakshinam Sadurjayam Vishnu Padam Chitam Tvaya Yatsurayo Prapya Vikakshate Param Atishta Tachandra Devakaradayo Graha Rikshatara Pariyanti Dakshinam Sadurjayam Vishnu Padam Chitam Dvaya Yatsurayo Prapya Vikakshate Param Atishta Tachandra Devakaradayo Graha Rikshatara Pariyanti Dakshinam
Thank you.
Translation. To achieve Vishnuloka is very difficult, but by your austerities, you have conquered. Even the great rishis and demigods cannot achieve this position. Simply to see the supreme abode, the Vishnu planet, the sun and moon and all other planets, stars, lunary mansions, and solar systems are circumambulating it. Now please come. You are welcome to go there. Also, you said. To achieve Vishnuloka
is very difficult.
But by your austerities,
you have conquered.
Even the great rishis and demigods
cannot achieve this position.
Simply to see the supreme abode, the Vishnu planet, the sun and moon and all the other planets, stars, lunar mansions, and solar systems are circumambulating it. Now please come. You are welcome to go there. Purport. Even in the material world, the so-called scientists, philosophers, and mental speculators strive to merge into the spiritual sky, but they can never go there. But a devotee, by executing devotional service, not only realizes what the spiritual world actually is, but factually goes there to live an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. The Krishna consciousness movement is so potent that by adopting these principles of life and developing love of Krishna, one can very easily go back home, back to Godhead. Here the practical example is the case of Dhruva Maharaj. While the scientists and philosophers go to the moon, but are disappointed in their attempts to stay there and live, the devotee makes an easy journey to other planets and ultimately goes back to Godhead. Devotees have no interest in seeing other planets, but while going back to Godhead, they see all of them as passing phases, as one who is going to a distant place passes through many small stations. So let me ask you a question. If I want to draw a straight line freehand, I have a point here and I want to draw a point here, and I want to do it freehand. No marker, no ruler, nothing like that. What is the best way to draw a straight line freehand? You look at where you're going. If you look along the way, you'll waver. But if you know where you're going, it's much easier. If you know the destination. I'm actually going somewhere, don't worry. I haven't lost my mind just yet. If you have a box, suppose you have a box, you have a pile of sand, and you have large rocks. Okay? Box, sand, lots of rocks. Now, we know, as a priori, that the rocks and the sand will all fit just exactly in the box. What do I put in the box first, sand or rocks? Why? If I put the sand in first, then the rocks won't fit. But if I put the rocks in first, the sand will form around it. You follow? Atato Brahma Jigyasya. Human form of life is meant questions about Brahman. The human form of life is meant to sort into two piles. Sat, asat. Sat, asat. That which is permanent, that which is eternal, that which is truth in the absolute sense, and that which is ephemeral. And once we know what is permanent, what is eternal, what is truth, then we can sort everything else out. Everything falls into its natural and proper place. If we are meant to become detached from this world. You ever seen kids on a ring step? I don't know if they have them in India. You know, you go from one ring to another, and they go in a circle like this. Or they have bars, you go from one bar to another. Bhagavatam gives example of you don't put one foot down. You don't pick up one foot till you know where the other foot can be settled. You can't really let go of something if we're in that position unless we have certainty of something else. Knowing that beyond this world, there is Parabrahma, there is a spiritual world. I was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada. He was walking and chanting quietly. All of a sudden, he stopped, put his cane down, sized us up, and said, I know you're all atheists, but there really is Krishna. And turned right on and kept walking. So that, we
have to become detached from this world. We all have so many important things to do. We all have our so many things that we're attached to that are important. Someone told me there's a saying that the graveyard is full of indispensable men. You follow? Indispensable. Oh, I'm so important, I can't. I thought I was the exception to all men are mortal. What is your name, young man?
Gopal.
Okay, Gopal did. Suppose I give you $100. I think finally the GBC is worth something. This man has done it. That's something tangible, thank you. Actually, outside of me, the GBC are very hardworking, sincere, saintly devotees. I know that because they tolerate me. Oh, and you're feeling quite happy. So you say to your friend, you say to Naresh, Naresh Prabhu, Badri just gave me $100. See, gee, that's funny, Naresh Prabhu says. He gave me $1,000. And you ask all your friends, I gave everybody else $1,000. Then what do you, at one moment you're thinking, great. And as soon as you find out I gave everyone $1,000, of course you're detached, you know, renounced person, I can understand. But in an ordinary mentality, you think, well, what's with this? What did I do? How did I tick him off? What do we know? So it's all relative. This world, Srila Prabhupada said, the demigods will not even come and pass urine on this place. Malati Masaji was saying, time she was on a walk with Prabhupada, and they heard the big, what is that? And she explained that there's a machine that comes and picks up a dumpster, you know, and it picks and dumps all the trash into a big truck. Prabhupada said the whole material world should go in it. So if we know of a higher thing, we can put this world in place. Tamal Krishnamurti told me this personally. He had been appointed by Srila Prabhupada as the temple commander of New Dwarka. This is 1969, 68, something like that. It was the largest temple in ISKCON, and it had, I don't know, maybe 35, 40 devotees. It was a big temple. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu said, if you were 20 years or 25 years up, if you were 30 years old, you were a senior, elderly sage. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu said one time, if you look back at that history, you wonder, well, what were they thinking? You know, Prabhupada wasn't only the only pure devotee with us at that time. He was probably the only adult with us, you know. But Tamal Krishnamurti told me this. He had been appointed by Prabhupada the temple commander. And he was feeling, he said, you know, I have this powerful position. I may become puffed up. It's like Lord Brahma was praying, may not become puffed up. He said, how do I become free from this, you know, the upadhi that comes with this powerful position? And Prabhupada said, you just think like this. You think that with every exhale of Vishnu, Mahavishnu, unlimited universes, like grains of the sand, come out. And he simply inhales, and it's all drawn in. It's simply one exhale and one inhale. And you think that in every exhale, there's one bubble. In that bubble is a universe. In that universe, there are so many planets. On that planet, there are so many planets. On each planet, so many continents. Every continent, so many countries. Every country, so many states. Every state, so many cities. Every city, so many streets. Every street, so many buildings. And in one of those buildings is Tamal Krishnamurti thinking, I'm very important. Yeah. Tamal told me that, so I can put it. So it's simply a matter of keeping things in perspective. And if we know that perspective, that this is not my real home, this is a temporary place, and my real home is the spiritual world, then from that can develop a sense of detachment. I was reading the prayers of Bhishma Dev, you know, on the instructions of Bhishma Dev. This is way off the track, but it's kind of fun. Prabhupada's, you know, these sutras, whatever, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that if all the books, we're not into book burning, but if all the books of the world were lost, and only the Bhagavatam remained, nothing would be lost. Everything is in there. Bhishma Dev says, how to get free from anger? One learns to forgive. How to become free from anger? One learns to forgive. Another thing is that how to become free from unlawful desires? Stop plan making. Don't make plans. If you think about it, what is it that, you know, it says in the Kali Yuga, people are lazy, unlucky, misguided, and above all, always disturbed? That disturbance in the mind, a large portion of it is the anger after frustration, or the Ruger principle. We're all making so many plans. Oh, I can speak for myself. So many plans how I'm going to enjoy. And when inevitably they are frustrated, we become angry, we become disturbed. If one can simply... Actually, this is about a bird flies in the sky according to its ability. So I know that my duty here is to tell some jokes and some stories and try to connect them. So anyway, in that line, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj told me a story. There was a man. We're going to tell three genie stories, if we have time. There was a man, and somehow or other he stumbled upon a genie, tripped over something, polished it off. Oh, lo and behold, yes, master. No. Whatever you wish, I will fulfill. And then the genie said under his breath, unheard by the man, and whatever you get, your neighbor will get twice as much. So the man thinks, I want to have a beautiful palatial building as my house. Poof! He's got a beautiful house. And he goes outside to show all of his friends his nice position. And lo and behold, his neighbor's house is twice as tall. He's got a two-story that he finished four-story. So he says, hey, genie, give me an eight-story. Poof! He's got an eight-story. Next door, the guy's got a 16-story. And what? So he's all right, give me a brand new Mercedes, whatever. Poof! He's got it. Goes outside to show his neighbor. His neighbor's got a brand new solid gold Rolls Royce. So he figures out what's going on, and he's so agitated, he thinks, let me be blind in one eye. And sure enough, his neighbor was blind in both eyes. So even though he's losing, you know, just to have somehow something up on someone else, this becomes happiness. There's a German word, which is happiness, in others' distress. It's not enough to succeed, but you have to see others fail. Then you've got the full material package, you know? So this feverish plan making, people are trying to become comfortable in this world without knowing what the ultimate goal is, if there's a transcendental spiritual world beyond this. There is a University of California, San Diego. It's one of the top heart science schools in the world. Forget IIT. MIT, you know, shudders. Caltech is a distant second. One of the fields is life extension sciences. The professor, eventually he'll get a Nobel Peace Prize for all his developments in medicine. His idea is that you can live in this body to 120 to 140 years. You just have to eat right, do right, exercise, take this. And he's working on it. Was, I should say. I think you know where this is going. And he had the, you know, he was 60 years old, he had the pulse rate of a 45-year-old, so many different things. He was out for his morning jog to beat time, and he was hit by a bus and killed. There was a devotee, I won't mention his name, he wanted two wives. Everyone said, you don't want two wives. You know, Prabhupada's example is there that, you know, so many people, Prabhupada's asked, better one wife, take care of one wife properly. You can't even take care of one wife, two wives are. Somehow or other, he was persistent. He got two wives. The two wives fell in love with each other and left him with the kids and the bills and ran off together. It's a true story. So, the farmer is, this is Prabhupada's story. The other one was life story. There was a farmer, this is Prabhupada's story. And you know, he's working in the fields and it is hard work. And he finally gets the grain. He takes them to market. And he sees the merchant. The merchant's sitting with a nice fan, and you know, he's got some nice nimbupani, and he's just, you know, he's got a happy life. And he's just on the abacus or his kind of, you know, balanced like that. So the farmer thinks, if only I could become a merchant. Why don't I just become a merchant? I'm working so hard in the field. Let me just be a grain merchant. Now the grain merchant, he's working hard in his mind, in his shop, and the king's tax collector comes and takes half of his money. See, gee, I'm working so hard, and the king comes and takes half my money. He's just sitting there on the throne, dancing girls and so many things. Well, finally I can become a king. Let me become the king. Now the king, he's sitting on the throne and all day long, you know, pounding politics and diplomacy and this and that. And he looks out his window and he sees the farmer and the peaceful sun working in the field, fresh air, and thinks, if only I could become a farmer. So this is the nature, the cyclical nature of plan making in this material world. And if one can, Prahlad Maharaj says that just as distress comes unsought. Anyone here seek out pain outside of the closet masochists, sadists? Anyone here seek out pain? Does anyone have any? I was walking the other day in the San Diego Temple Room. I was in a hurry. I was born 4 days early. And my mother says I've been in a hurry ever since. So I apologize, it's my nature. So I was in a hurry, and I caught my little toe on the corner of the Vyasasan, Prabhupada's Vyasasan. Now, I have never awakened in the morning and been overwhelmed. Oh, little toe, please titillate me. I never get much juice out of my little toe. I don't know about the rest of you, but that's my personal experience. And yet it has unlimited flow. I mean, it really hurt. It swole up. You know, it has unlimited potential for pain. You get an infection, your little toe, it can kill you. So let's weigh it on a pan balance, you know, potential for pleasure, potential for pain. And if you analyze, the whole world is like that. He's in pain something right now, right? Yeah. I mean, if we wanted to fill up the rest of the Bhagavatam time, we could just take an inventory, one by one, how are you suffering right now? I'm serious, and that's not even without going on the mental plane. If you want to go on the mental plane, forget it. One of us can fill the rest of the hour, you know? So, that is the nature of this place. And frankly, it is the great vision, Vaishnava vision. Because when we understand the nature of this thing, we think, ah, what is this? What is the use of the whole thing? Let me become detached. And that detachment eventually, over time, matures into, what is it, dayabak? What that one feels like a surrendered, whatever the Lord wants. Prabhupada said, that you think you're sitting, I was sitting in the room. Prabhupada said, you think you're sitting on the floor? I am sitting on the hand of Krishna. So that, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. More than I already am. Astrology has its place. Astrology is a bona fide Vedic science. The question is finding a good astrologer. But I heard Prabhupada say, you know, calculating the date, calculating the day for Jagat Sastra, okay, fine. When I was the temple president, I used to get 3 astrologers for calculating the charts on the marriage. And practically every time, one astrologer would say, made in heaven. The other astrologer would say, oh, but lived in hell. And the third would say, 50-50. Now, I swear to you, that was the general pattern when you call 3 astrologers. Prabhupada said, it destroys the childlike innocence of bhakti. By that I mean, whatever it is, whatever fill in the blank, that destroys the childlike innocence of bhakti. You see these children come to the temple, especially if they're South Indian. You know, if the little kid, the mother says, bow down here, stand over here, pull your ears, do this. And the kid's just like a Gumby toy. Whatever the mother tells them to do, the kid does. Surrender. You ever seen a mother dressing a kid or a father? You know, they pull the socks on, pull the jacket, the hat on, pull the kid. The kid's just like, you know, whatever. He surrendered, you know? Because he knows, my parent just wants the best for me. So they just surrender, you know? That, what is all this plan making? What is this material world? Let me just surrender to whatever Krishna wants. Let me execute the plan of Krishna. That peaceful state is the beginning of childhood. When one comes to that selfless surrender, again this quote, Dayabhak, it means the rightful inheritance. Someone who becomes surrendered to Krishna, it's one of the symptoms of surrender, that one, it becomes one's rightful heir. Krishna becomes purchased by that. Once one has that realization, it says that Dhruva Maharaj conquered Vishnu Loka by austerity. There's many different types of austerity. But for the sake of our discussion today, Prabhupada said, you know what? Our austerity is to tolerate each other. Frankly, Prabhupada said the measure of your love for me will be that you can cooperate, that you cooperate together. If Prabhupada wrote the one GBC man who was complaining, and probably rightfully so, about some temple president, Prabhupada had these wonderful one-liners. Like, they asked Prabhupada, is the world flat? He said, everywhere I walk it is. They asked Prabhupada, why is the death rate so high in India? He said, it's the same everywhere, 100%. So similarly, Prabhupada wrote a P.S. to this letter. The devotee was, you know, perhaps rightfully so, complaining about this one temple president. Prabhupada wrote a P.S. in his own hand. I ask that you tolerate him just like I tolerate you. I mean, for us to tolerate, it's more or less a lateral, you know? But Prabhupada is reaching down from Goloka Vrindavan into the deepest mud of Kali Yuga and pulling us up, you know? So if we calculate how much Srila Prabhupada, the senior Vaishnavas, the previous Acharyas, you know, they've crossed over the river, but they've left the boat for us. If we think how much mercy we are receiving, what is it to tolerate some shortcoming? What, you can't ask for what you're not willing to give. If we're not willing to forgive, if we're not willing to tolerate, if we're not willing, you know, cooperation, at least in my mind, means that you agree with me. But that's not really the definition of cooperation, you know? So, and I'm thinking of the time factor. Prabhupada talks about great rishis, sages, how they kind of even touched the Vishnuloka planet. The fact of the matter is, we know, and I'm going to hopefully, if we have time, end with one story. We have conviction in the words of the Bhagavatam. These materialists really do not know what they are talking about. It is one of the biggest bluffs going. It was Hitler's propaganda minister, Goebbels. He said, you just have to tell a lie. And if you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, people will believe it. But don't tell a little lie. A little lie they'll pick apart. But if you tell a big lie, they'll think, oh, they would never lie about that. The big lie is that we're this body, that this material world is our all in all, that it's all going on by chance, although it contradicts all of our intuitive experience and intelligence. Well, they all say it, the big person, it must be true. I wanted to share, just for fun, we don't have time to go into it, but these are some newspaper headings. Again, a bird flies in the sky according to its ability, so I'm supposed to tell stories, here we go. These are from the great Puranas of Truth in the material world, from the LA Times, New York Times, London Times. Oh, they must be true. This one says, Mars probe vanishes near planet. This is the one that it was Europe and America working together, and they shot the thing, literally hundreds of millions of dollars. We could build 20, 30 Mayapur temples on just this one little probe. Europe and America was working, USA was working together. The only problem was that and they sent the thing off. Beep, 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 beep. Gone. They traced the whole thing back. This is true. The American scientists were working in inches and yards, and the Europeans were in meters. Whoops. Estimated age of universe changes as knowledge expands. My father once told me that the art of diplomacy is the ability to tell someone to go to hell and they look forward to the trip. It's all in how you word it. Estimated age of universe changes as knowledge expands. This means we don't know what the hell's going on. That's what that actually means. Stellar whopper puzzles scientists. Evidence of new form of matter found in two stars. My son used to make models. Now he's an adult, you know. You put together a model, it's supposed to be a car that moves and everything. He would put the whole thing together, and the car didn't move. And then he would look over and there were five or six parts he'd forgotten to add. Oh, that might have something to do with it. If the whole universe is figured out by the law of physics, there's no room for God, there's no room for miracles, there's no room for spiritual energy, we've got it all figured out, it's all operating by laws of physics which we can explain. Well, then what is this? All of a sudden there's a whole new set of parts that you didn't know about. That means that all of your laws are all suspect. All of your conclusions are suspect. That's what this means. Number of stars, hugely uncounted. We're almost done. Scientists astounded by cosmic explosion. Probe of Jupiter jolts science. Nearby stars don't behave as they should. Mysterious force pulling universe apart. Few more. Space telescope fails 5 days after launch. How much of that was your tax dollars at work? Costly rocket failures mount. Last Titan rocket failure brings total of three in 1 year at a cost of $3 billion. They're like children. They're like children that have our money and are simply gambling it away. They're lighting it on fire and feeding us cow manure. So, glad I got that off my chest. But the point is, that why do we put our faith in these things? Suppose I'm Christopher Columbus' aunt, and I'm sent out by the Queen for exploration. This Balboa, I don't know if you remember Balboa, the Spanish or Portuguese, Spanish, I think. He crossed the isthmus, between Latin and North America, South America, the Central America, the small isthmus there. He crossed it. When he came to the Pacific Ocean, he touched the ocean with the Spanish flag and said, all waters touched by this flag are now claimed by the Queen of Spain. I mean, it was a big shock to the Chinese and Japanese. Se habla español. They don't know what that's. So Christopher Columbus' aunt sets out to survey new lands. He's climbing up and over me. He's climbing, I'm rattling on about Bible class, he's climbing me. He returns to the Queen. He has a big log of his journey. And vast lands, forests, mountains, hills, all uninhabited. You follow? He's climbing on me. But his range of sense perception is so limited that he can't see me. We claim, us scientists, materialist, reductionist, that a priori, as a given, as an axiomatic beginning of truth, everything ultimately can be subordinated to my sensory mental perception, intellectual perception. Why? Why? Suppose I'm going to meet Gopal Prabhu, and we're going to meet at the corner. What's a big intersection in Calcutta, Main Street, downtown Calcutta? Charangi and what? All right, whatever it is. Main Street intersection downtown, Calcutta. 3 o'clock, p.m., such and such a day. And being a very responsible Vaishnava, he's there half an hour earlier. No Indian standard time, he's there half hour early. I also show up, same time. In fact, I'm a half hour early. It could happen. I show up a half hour, same place. I don't see him. He doesn't see me. We meet the next day. I say, Prabhu, I'm sure you were busy doing something, but what happened? He says, with all due respects, Prabhu, I was there, but where were you? On the two-dimensional plane, fine. But suppose there's a building on that corner. And suppose all of a sudden, he was on the first floor, I was on the third floor. As soon as we add the other third dimension of height, length and breadth, we were in the same spot. You add another dimension, we're completely independent. We don't even experience each other. If we accept, as the materialists also accept, what they speak of the Bhagavatam, that we live in a multidimensional universe, then the whole thing becomes mystical. Prabhupada said the whole material world is going under the mystic potency of the Supreme. So their little limited plane of calculating what is what, they will never understand. It says you're to come to the close to the closing. The You're very, it says here, they have come to take him. You're welcome to go. The whole theme of the Bhagavatam, if you were to summarize it, is Krishna delivering his devotees. Leela after leela, historical event, we say, after historical event of Krishna in inconceivable ways delivering his devotees. Krishna's Bhakta Vatsa. He's leaning favorably to, when Prabhupada came to Detroit, he saw Radha Kuncha Bihari. And as you know, Kuncha Bihari in Detroit, it looks like he's going to put his head on Radha on his shoulder. He's really leaning. Prabhupada said, ah, Bhakta Vatsa. That Krishna is leaning favorably towards his devotees. You know, he's covering the sindhu. He's an ocean of mercy. Prabhupada told me, if you take one toll in a darshan, if you take one step towards Krishna, Krishna will take 10 to you. This Madoff guy who made off with everybody's money, what was his rate of return? If I offered you one, you know, 1 to 20 rate of return, I mean, it's inconceivable. It's too good to be true. But Krishna's offering, what is 1 to 10? Is 1,000 rate of return? 1,000%? One step. So the simple point I'm trying to make is that what is this material world? And on the other side, here we have Krishna, here we have the spiritual world, we have all the great saints and sages saying, come on, just come this way. And what do we have to do? We become detached from this world. Stop with our plan making. The real thing is, they came to him. If we just do the needful, Prabhupada said, you will not find Krishna in the bushes in Vrindavan. Dhruva Maharaj was a manager. I'm not saying you should all be managed. I'm saying whatever you're doing to put your shoulder to the wheel of the Sankirtan mission, that will capture the attention of Krishna. That will earn you the mercy. It says he earned the mercy and they came to him. You don't have to chase after it. You simply... I was in the shower the other day. A devotee got up on a milk crate, called in the window, Badri, can I talk to you? I said, Prabhu, I'm in the shower. The devotee said, oh, I don't mind. You know, the idea that I had any personal life or dignity, well, that was just out the window, you know? But to manage an ISKCON, to cooperate together, to take matter. Prabhupada said in the spiritual world, the garlands, you can string them if you want to for seva, or if you're doing something else, they'll string themselves. Prabhupada said the sweet rice will cook itself and tell you when it's done. So, but in the material world, it's almost the opposite. To get the material nature, just to get tab A to tab B and stay there, you know, takes all of our human exertion. So to cooperate in this world, to push material matter, to do something for Krishna, this is the secret for capturing the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret for having the Vishnu Dutas come and take us back home, back to Godhead. It is not so hard. But it's just like this kirtan over here. What's not to love? Now when we're done with this class, hopefully I've said something to some used to. We had a few minutes, okay, fine, it was worthwhile. Nice, Krishna Katha, you're hearing something about Krishna. Then we go take a fantastic feast. My father, he retired at 75 years old, 76 actually. Big black tie dinner, everyone's there in tuxedos, 250 people, it's a big deal. He's speaking. He says, I began working at 12 years old, I had a paper route. He said, I have worked all of my life. Now I'm retiring at 76 years old, but my youngest son is smarter than me. The devotee. I'm there as a devotee, just in the road class. And he says, you know why? He said, he retired at 17 and a half. He joined the Hare Krishna movement. And you can appreciate him. So if you think about it, I mean, you know, we work hard for Krishna. We should work to our full exertion. But in the ultimate issue, there was a study done in America, and I'm looking at the time. There was a study done in America, and they found that, you know, what motivates people in the workplace? It was done by Harvard Business Review, again, a Puran of truth, materially. Curiously enough, they found out that after a certain point, after somebody gets their house, they get their health care taken care of, they're putting aside some money for their kids, More money doesn't really motivate them. And really perks, the corner office or this or that, the executive key to the executive washroom and elevator, that's really not what motivates them. What motivates people is being appreciated and is feeling that they're doing something of matter, something that will last, something of worth. We're here in the Hare Krishna movement. We're delivering conditioned souls. We're saving the planet. You could not do a more important thing than be in the Hare Krishna movement and deliver the Sankirtan mission. So chanting, dancing, feasting, and the most important work, what's not to love? But the mind, I'll give you an example, Prabhupada's example. You're at someone's house, you're at a home program, and they cook green coconut kachoris. Very tasty. Bengali specialty. If you eat too many green coconut kachoris, though, they cause indigestion. So you have one, the mind says, have another. All right, you're a faithful servant of mine. I want this beastly thing to stop badgering me. I'll have another. The mind says, when was the last time you saw coconut kachoris? How often? Two, you should. When you're eating, you're like singing a certain number, this is a study in a certain number, you should take three. You take three. Well, as long as you've taken three, you've thrown caution to it, might as well have four. All right, my dear mind, whatever you say, I just want you happy. When you wake up in the middle of the night, 4 hours later, with a horrible stomach ache, that same mind says, you idiot, what'd you eat so many for? I was traveling with a devotee, nice, a saintly devotee, actually. We're traveling in a van doing book distribution, right? We're up for Mangal Arati, and the guy just looks beat. He looks like he's just been slapped silly all night long. I said, Prabhu, what happened? He said, oh, I couldn't sleep at all last night. I said, why? He said, the window was open. It was so cold. I said, well, why didn't you shut it? He said, I was too tired to get up. So he tossed and turned all night long rather than 5 minutes at the window, you know? But, I mean, we're laughing, but at least I know for myself. I mean, this is my constant existence. Is these judgment calls as a servant of the mind. So, this is Prabhupada's story. A man encountered a genie. And the genie said, one wish, O master. And for you lawyers out there, you can't wish for unlimited wishes. You only got one wish. No fine, what if, you know, subtext. The man is blind. He's deaf. No, blind, poverty-stricken, and no children. So he's blind, poverty-stricken, and no children. And he only has one wish. What to do? You know what he wished for, according to Prabhupada? He wished to see his children from the roof of his palace. You follow? See his children from the roof of his palace. If you just become a devotee, just surrender to Krishna, just serve in the Sankirtan mission, just somehow or other push the Sankirtan mission forward. That one act, everything will be accomplished. Just like the Vishnus came for Dhruva Maharaj, they will come for us. To finish, I do want to say this. I was in Los Angeles, 1970. Srila Prabhupada was speaking. Actually, before he began to speak, and I'll give the details because we have time. Instead of Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada was teaching us the mantras of Sri Yashupanishad. Om Pranam Adam Pranam Adam. And Prabhupada would come to the temple, greet the deities. The temple room was where the museum is now in Los Angeles. Prabhupada would come and sit on his Vyasasan. We would offer obeisances. And we were used to, even as before we came up, Prabhupada's oceanic voice would be rolling out with the invocation of Sri Yashupanishad, just one of those golden moments. This particular time, we offered obeisances. No Om Pranam Adam, it wasn't coming. We looked and Prabhupada was sitting very straight on the Vyasasan. And then we noticed that flowing from his eyes, the tears pouring from his eyes as he was looking at them. We just had little deities in those days. And then you saw Srila Prabhupada physically take a breath, and you could see he suppressed, he pushed it all down, got it out of his way, and then began chanting, Om Pranam Adam Pranam Adam. That ecstasy, which came spontaneously, was an intrusion, was in the way of his service to his spiritual master and to his students. That ecstasy was a disturbance. He simply pushed it down to get on with his business of serving his disciples and serving his spiritual master. That is a Mahabhagla. That is someone who is fully surcharged with the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So chasing after it is one thing, but if we simply put our shoulder to the wheel of the Sangatan movement, we have to study, we have to chant. I'm not saying any of that. But it is a descending, not an ascending process. One thing, and we'll end on time by Krishna's grace. There's a man, and the reason I'm telling this is that we believe so many fantastic stories. You talk to the materialists, they believe in, you know, parallel universes, gray matter, black matter, dark stars. I mean, they have, you know, they go on and on and on. They have a fantastic... You think we believe fantastic stories? Tap into the, you know, theoretical physics. It'll blow your mind what they believe. You know, what are they smoking? So, you know, we have fantastic stories. They have fantastic stories. Fine. As a faith builder and a fantastic in the Bhagavad view, that there is Vishnu Loka. There are the Vishnu Devas. This is not our real home. To buy into that worldview. Mr. Prakash is South Indian. True story. He lives in San Diego. He's a nice man. His wife is aspiring to take initiation from Jaya Pataka Maharaj. He's more of a smart Brahmin. He's a nice man, but... And coming in a South Indian Brahmin family, he's reserved, you know? He's not demonstrative. He's not an emotional person. He had a cerebral thrombosis, blood vessel blew in his brain. They rushed into the hospital, they had four times, they almost, he flatlined, almost four times. No, almost, exactly four times, he flatlined, they thought they were going to lose him. Somehow or other, he survived. Major operation. He was in a coma, tubed the whole thing. His wife said, can you please come, say something, you know? So, you know, I've known the family for many years, so I come. And let me tell you, he looked dead. You know, he had that gray, green, ghostly color. I mean, I've seen my fair share of people about to go, and he really, I thought, well, good luck. So I didn't say it, you know. So I have a little bedside manner. So I'm not always a grim reaper. So, you know, we chanted some Bhagavad Gita. I quoted some slokes. Said, we're here for you, Prakash. Just remember Krishna. You know, don't worry. Just surrender to Krishna. So I went to see him. Well, once a week, I'd stop by and see him. 5-6 weeks went by, his wife called me, he's out of the coma. He's recovered. They've taken the tube out. But he will not speak, he wants to see you. So they... You still here? Okay. I don't know what that was all about. Anyway, I thought, well, it's too late to get in the wheel, but I'll go anyway. So I went to see him. He's lying on his bed, obviously drained from this whole experience. He sees me. He sits up in his bed and says, the relatives are here, the doctor is here. He sits up and he says, Padri, four times they came. The doctor chimes in, yes, we almost lost him four times on the operating table. Mr. Prakash, no, four times they came. His dimwit relatives said, oh yes, we came to see him, we thought he was in the emergency care, but they moved him to this room and now waited. Four times it took us to find him. No, Mr. Prakash said, four times they came. So I thought, you know, trying to be a devotee, I thought he must mean the Vishnu Dutas. I said, Vishnu Dutas? He said, no. He said, no, the bad people. I said, oh, you mean Yamadutas? By this time, he's nodding. He said, everybody, the relatives, the doctor, everybody's tuned in at this point, you know? He said, four times they came.
Every time they came.
I told them, take me or leave me. I am depending on Krishna. They went away. He said, again, they came back. Again, I told them, take me or leave me. I'm depending on Krishna. Fourth time they came, I said, why are you bothering me? I told you the same thing. He said, then the Vishnu, he said, then the good people came.
And when the bad people saw the good people, they said, oh, we cannot touch him now. And they went away. And Mr. Prakash came out of his coma. At that point, you could hear a pin drop in the room. Prakash reaches up, grabs me by my arms, and says, before I did not believe. He said, now 100%. And actually, if you search into it, there are so many stories like that. It's actually a fact. Now I'm going to tell, I could end there or tell one other joke. Because I said I would, I will. And we'll end after this. And the point of this joke is plan making. You cannot become happy in this material world. Prabhupada said if you try to wash coal, what will happen? Get the best ingredients, the best solvents, this and that. Fantastic brush. Scrub for weeks. The coal will always be black because that is its intrinsic, inherent nature. This material world is temporary and it's full of miseries. And it's certified by its creator, Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita. You want to get the owner's manual for this material world? Read Bhagavad Gita. And what does it say? Temporary and full of misery. Oh, no, no, but I have a better idea. I don't think so. Please don't take offense, ladies. I'm telling it as a man. This is a gender-neutral joke. The ladies can tell it. Just substitute husband instead of wife, and it'll work just fine, okay? So don't stone me on the way out. It works for everybody. A man is walking down the beach, stubs his toe, sees something glittering. I can tell this because actually after the class, it's a little informal now. Something glittering, he dusts it off, it's a lamp. A genie comes out and says, oh master, whatever you want, one wish I will fulfill. The man says, I'm living in California. All my family lives in Hawaii. I gotta fly them over here, I gotta fly over there, it's so expensive. And can you just make a bridge from California to Hawaii? And the genie says, come on, you know, I'm a genie, but you know how hard that is? You know how much cement, how much, I mean, give me a break, ask for something else. So the guy says, okay, sorry. So he says, you know, my wife and I, we don't get along so well. He said, can you tell me how to keep my wife happy? Genie says, when do you want that bridge, bud? So the point is, we cannot be happy in this material world. Just surrender to Krishna and put our shoulder behind the wheel of the Sankirtan mission. Thank you very much. Brother. And now, we all get to go take prasadam. What's not to love about the Hare Krishna movement?